Tell me something. Have you ever heard the saying, man, that guy could sell snow to an Eskimo? Probably not, because I made it up myself, but there are sayings that coincide with that, selling this or that, you know. You could sell anything. That's top salespeople, I suppose. But that man, he could sell snow to an Eskimo. Now, I want you to understand something right at the outset. Although I am using the male as a descriptive here in my sermon, it also applies to ladies as well, okay? But if you try to use them both in the same sentence, sometimes they conflict. So bear with me, please. I have entitled my message today, Salesman for Christ. Salesman for Christ. And like I said, also ladies too. All right? So it's a dual gender situation. Could you sell snow to an Eskimo? Well, it's hardly likely, but anyway, you'll get the message as we proceed into it. And then there's me, of course, you know. Could I? I couldn't sell free ice cream to a starving kid on a hot day. No. I tried when I was a young man early in my life, I was looking for work, of course. I would try the sales pitch. I couldn't. I couldn't sell free ice cream to a starving kid on a hot day. That's how bad it is. So I didn't last very long. But how about giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ? How about that? Not only is it free, but the rewards, well, you've heard this before, most likely. The rewards are out of this world. Out of this world. And the best part is, well, anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. You know, I want to have a little prayer here, and then I'll get into the meat of the message. So, would you just listen along with me and let your heart be in an attitude of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity you've given me to deliver this word, Lord, that comes from my heart, Lord, but originates in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Please give me utterance. And Lord, may the things I say, may they serve to glorify you, and may your Son, your only begotten Son, my blessed Savior, be lifted up. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I like to play golf. Now, I'm a little up in years here, and I can't go out and play every day, you know, when you have your aches and your pains and you have your setbacks and so forth and so on. Sometimes I have a partner to share the game with, and sometimes I'm alone. But, you know, when I'm alone, I'm never really alone. But, you know, if I had a microphone on me and a little tape recorder in my pocket, you'd know what I was talking about, because all over the golf course, I'm talking to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that good shot. Oh, that's okay, Lord. I'm not mad because I put that ball in the water and I muffed that shot. I'm not mad. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Well, anyway, no matter how you put it that way, you can be sure of one thing. You can always be sure. I'm going to have that conversation with God. Not to sell him something. Not an earthly no, but to follow his instructions on how to be a good salesman for Christ. How to be a good salesman for Christ. A friend of mine of recent, well, he likes to play golf too. So, well, we've been out a couple of times. We try to get out whenever we can. And I've stated my case as to where I stand with the Lord. I've made it very clear where I stand with the Lord. Now, I didn't go all gung-ho, like, you know, or you're going to hell and what have you, know, this or that. Although it comes down to that eventually. But sometimes you go in too hastily, you'll turn them off before you even get a chance to inject that precious word of God that will send them on to glory. No. As I said, playing golf or any high-energy game, if I can do it, and get the old adrenaline flowing, and sometimes the excitement, well, good or bad, well, it can cause the tongue to sometimes utter some unpleasant expletives. If you get what I mean? You might hear this from time to time on the golf course. Not a good thing, no. I thank God, you know. I thank God for the indwelling Holy Spirit that I've been able to overcome that language problem. I thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. My friend, my golfing buddy, unfortunately, is not yet a child of the King. Not yet. He's a work in progress, you might say. And from time to time, well, he may slip an unpleasant word into an unproductive golf shot. But he never seems to take the Lord's name in vain. Just trashy words sometimes. If you know. Yeah, I'm not going to repeat them, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Well, that was in the beginning. And then after I witnessed to him, even though he didn't come right out and admit that he would receive the Lord, he didn't deny him either, although, you know, it could be classed as denial. But like I said, he's still a work in progress. And there's more coming up on that. But when I took that stand for Christ, and I clearly stated that I neither liked nor would accept any kind of language that was offensive to my Savior. It seemed to work quite well. I never hear him take Christ's name in vain or use any of the worldly expletives that so often come from an angry golfer. No. In fact, he doesn't even get angry. He's like me. We get playing golf together. We're just like two kids, you know, prancing around the golf course. You hit a bad shot, you hit a good shot, you know. You holler four, maybe five times instead of four. You get what I'm saying, eh? Anyway, well, the next time we played golf together, or one time rather, we played golf together, I decided, now I'm going back at the beginning here, okay? Scratch that next time. There was this time when I decided to become a real salesman for Christ. That's the title of my message, Salesman for Christ. To sell without cost now, the free gift of salvation. Now, right away, people think, well, what's this going to cost me? I can't stop doing that. I don't want to give up that. Well, you know, that's something you shouldn't even think about, because I used to be the same way before I got saved. Oh, I ain't going to listen to that guy telling me I have to do this, I have to do that. No, I don't want it for one thing. But you know what? What happened to me when I got saved, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came and indwelt me, those desires to do or say these things just started melting away. Now, it didn't all happen overnight, but it did happen. And in short duration, too, it took place. I had no more desire to want to take, go out and yell expletives to the world. I had no desire to want to go and to places where God would not be pleased with me. No. I had a desire to obey God, to do what God wanted me to do. Getting back to my buddy on the golf course, it was only when we had finished play and were back at the parking lot that I really put my sales pitch into action. Oh, I remember well. I gave him some literature, And I told them all about the salvation offered by Jesus Christ. All about the salvation that you could get through Jesus Christ. And most importantly, where I stood. Where I stood on the matter of salvation. Well, he seemed to be open. At least he listened intently, never interrupted me. And as we parted company, I gave him some more literature, and I gave him my Christian website address and so forth and so on, and told him I was looking forward to next time we play golf together. Now, he didn't leave me filled with a whole lot of, oh, yeah, I love this, you know, or any kind of hope whatsoever. He just kind of listened. He heard. He heard the sales pitch I had for Christ, and he took that with him. Now, during the time that elapsed before we met again on the links, I made it a point by praying without ceasing for his salvation. Now, when you mention praying without ceasing, a lot of people say, well, I can't always be on my knees praying and, you know, and you know, forgetting about my work and praying and praying and praying. That's not what praying without ceasing that the Bible tells us about. Pray without ceasing means to always be in an attitude of prayer. You know, the Holy Spirit convicts you of these things. You know, if you see something amiss, somebody's in trouble, you pray for them, right? Oh, Father, please help them. You know, dear God, have mercy on them. So forth and so on. That's being in an attitude of prayer. You know, and being, I like to say, being in an attitude of prayer is not a attitude thing to be. No, not at all. Now, when I asked him, since the last time we golfed together, if he had made a decision about becoming a Christian, he probably said, no, no. At least he hadn't left me hanging. What a poor salesman, I thought. That's me. I really can't sell anything. No, I can't even sell Jesus Christ. I felt like I had let God down. Or had I? Had I really? You know, the Word of God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, I haven't been into all the world. I've been into a lot of it, but not all the world. And where I do travel, I do try to give the gospel. And certainly to all whom I meet, including my golfing friends, including them. You see, people like my friend, whom I'm making the center of this particular message, you meet them every day as you walk through this life. You know, even though you may not have a conversation with them, they're there. They're on your left, they're on your right, they're in front of you, they're behind you. They're all around you. People who need to hear the sales pitch of Christ. Oh, yes. Every day when I walk through this life. You know, and though around the golf may be all you'll share in this life, you know, at least speaking personally, I intend to hang in there until he gets tired of me praising the Lord on every hole of the golf course. There, take that. You see, I figure he'll either get tired of me praising the Lord and just disappear into the world, or just maybe he'll test the waters of my world and begin taking a shine to it. That way, I figure, well, this is still too close to call even today, even as I deliver this message. Things are still teetering, you know. He hasn't made that decision yet, but I'm still working. He's a work in progress, oh yes. My friend shows respect for Jesus by never uttering an unkind word or taking his name in vain, things like that. If he does, well, then that will likely be my cue to exit stage right, if you get what I mean. Because sometimes people have a tendency to if they want to get rid of you and your sales pitch for Christ, they'll use his name in vain constantly to turn you off so you want to get away from him. But he's not like that. No. Like I said, he's still a work in progress. Now, what does the Word of God have to say about such an alliance as I just described? What does the Word of God have to say? Well, you find in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, here we read, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Is the Lord not telling us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? Yes, that's what he's saying. And if you go to Amos 3:3, the Word of God tells us, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, this is most vital, most vital. If we are to ever win souls to Christ. Are you listening? This is so important. If we're ever to win souls for Christ, before we apply any judgment at all to the unsaved, we must fully examine the situation at hand. In the example I give, there's no proof positive that the lost soul has flatly denied the Savior, well, nor has he accepted him. He has simply not made up his mind. He is, if you will, he's dangling. The key to this case in point has not totally been exhausted yet, all right? And cannot be judged conclusive. Not yet. Not yet. Two main factors remain. Two main factors. And you have to keep these in mind. First of all, has the unrepentant person totally declared spiritual bankruptcy? I use that term. Has he totally declared spiritual bankruptcy? There's no hope for him. Has he drawn a wall between himself and Christ? Has he flatly denied the Savior and left no thoughts or any doubt or hope behind? Has he? Secondly, have you, now here comes your part, have you done your part? Have you prayed without ceasing for this wayward soul? Have you gone boldly to the throne of grace? Have you told the recipient what he should know, what he should know about before and after consequences? These are the most difficult cases to judge, especially where close friends and relatives are concerned. Especially relatives. We must be extra careful that we, the witnesses, do not falter with our declaration. Okay? All possible hope must be explored, well explored, before the gavel comes down. You know, there are too many potential soldiers of the cross out there, which are prejudged even before the battle is over. Yes, there are. Do we give up too easy? Do you give up too easy? The Scriptures clearly tell us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What's all mean? It means all. If you have an ice cream and you eat it all, you don't have an ice cream anymore, do you? If you witness to somebody about salvation of the Lord and you give them the gospel of Christ, you've given them all that they need to know. Although you pamper them, maybe you continue on with them, you help them to walk according to what the Holy Spirit would have them do, this and that, you add as much comfort and direction as you can without becoming an annoyance, if you get my drift. Some people go a little too far. But then again, I ask myself, can you go too far for Christ? Well, maybe in the beginning, because as I explained, sometimes it gets a little bit scary. Gets a little bit scary if you get too pushy. If you try to absorb too much at one time, it can be a little scary. The scripture clearly tells us, like I said, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we can't just drop 30 seconds of witnessing in someone's lap and then abandon them as being hopeless because they haven't given you an answer, especially the answer you want to hear. We can't do that. That's not good. That's not good. God looks upon the heart. And the intents of the heart don't always come out of the mouth. At least initially. The Bible tells us we will know them by what? By their fruits. By the very way they behave and conduct themselves. It's the fruit that declares the truth. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and so on. When you, as God's witness, plant that seed of salvation, it may take a little while to notice the fruit that it bears. It may take a little while. So don't be too hasty. We can't all be suddenly Christians, can we? I mean, it's a good idea. It's a good thought. But it doesn't always happen. You have to work on people sometime. Don't give up. Like I say, pray without ceasing until you get the final answer. You know. God will let you know. In some, salvation is instantaneous. While in others, that same seed that you try to plant may need more watering before it can break ground. You got that? When you plant that seed, you have to give it time to break ground. And before it can do that, it may need a little more watering, a little more of you involved, a little more of God's word involved. You got that? Give them a little space. Give them a little time. Give them some scripture to read and ponder. If he repents, the Holy Spirit will come in and the fruit will begin to blossom. Wow. Now, for this reason, it's good if these potential converts attend church to hear the Word of God as it unfolds before them amidst other Christians. That's a good place to go. It's the best place to go, actually. For this reason, it's good that either converts or potential converts, if you can get them into church with you and show them God's people and how welcome they are. But regardless, I cannot emphasize this enough. Pray. Without ceasing. The answer for everything can always be found through prayer. Through prayer. Prayer is the food of saints. Prayer is the food of saints. Now, I've often wondered, do we give up too easy? Do we, when it comes to winning a soul for Christ? I think some of us do. I would think more often than not, even. My golfing buddy I mentioned at the outset, I haven't given up on him yet. I don't want to. For if I did, it would be Would it not be like giving up on Christ himself? You know, sometimes it takes more than a few words to convict the heart. Of course, I can't and I will not, get this now, I can't and I will not pester him every time we play golf, even though I fear the Lord could return at any moment. And if he does, and my friend was still in denial, well, then he would lose out. He would lose out on the greatest gift ever offered to mankind. My golfing buddy knows where I stand. He knows my thoughts. He hears me when I praise the Lord. He respects what I stand for. He may not have joined with me in alliance, but he respects what I stand for. And for that reason, if for none other, he'll bite his tongue before he takes the Lord's name in vain. And I respect him for that. And when our time together has ended, well, I'll shake his hand and I'll thank him for time well spent. Of this one thing, you can be sure. He will have seen even a little bit of Christ in me. He will have. And for that very reason, it will all be worth it. It will all be worth it. Oh, if I can be an advocate, an effective advocate for Christ, what else? What other joy is there? Nothing can surpass that. Will we golf again, my buddy and I? Well, all he has to do is ask. And when he does, he'll know it's got to be a threesome. It's got to be a threesome. You get the message? How is it with you people? How is it? Are you a hit-and-run witness for Christ? You know, you walk down the street, you hand out tracts. Hey, that's good. I'm not knocking it. But what about taking the time to witness to one person, give that one person the gospel, share a little time with that one person, you know, and being reasonably sure that one person believed in what you were doing, what you were saying, rather than hurry down and you know, you got to be saved, here's a tract, here's a tract, and coming back the end of the day saying, instead of saying, well, boy, you know what? I won a precious soul to Christ today. That's better than coming home saying, well, I gave out 1,000 tracts. Surely somebody's going to get saved there. Maybe not. Oh, what a blessing it is to know for sure. What a blessing it is. There's an old adage that says, haste makes waste. You've probably heard it. But when it comes to reaching out for lost souls, and Christ is already at the door, then all we have left is haste. All we have left. You know, if death is imminent and it's coming quickly, you haven't got time for anything else but to give a clear gospel. Oh, how wonderful it is to be a salesman for Christ. If you happen to be a door-knocking witness for Christ, you may not always get the opportunity to speak face-to-face. You may just be able to put a tract in a mailbox and maybe ring the doorbell and nobody comes. Nevertheless, and this is ultra important, nevertheless, to leave a tract along with a brochure and maybe even a Bible is still considered reaching out for the Lord. Reaching out on behalf of the Lord. You see, the bottom line is never winning a soul to Christ. Is that what it is? The bottom line is never winning a soul to Christ? No. The bottom line is simply leading a soul to Christ. Winning has already been done at the cross. Jesus did the winning when he gave up his life, shed his precious blood at Mount Calvary. Oh, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe what he did? I pray so. Now, before I close, I'd just like to mention briefly what I call the showcase witness. The showcase witness. These are those who hasten about, like I alluded to earlier, they hasten about handing out tracts and brochures while they wear sweaters and shirts with monograms like Jesus is Lord or Jesus saves. I urge you not to be troubled. These gentle souls represent the Word of God. It's the multitude of prayers, though, that make the Word a reality. That's why I say pray without ceasing. I can't say it enough. That's where the answer comes from. Through prayer. Through prayer. It's the multitude of prayers that make the Word of God a reality. Now, if you want to be a salesman for Christ, if you really do, ladies too, fill your briefcase with prayers and patience. I want to thank you for listening. I pray this message has been a blessing to you. And I pray that you will, you will check out my website, tillycomes.net, Battle Site for Christ. There are a whole lot of prayers and messages right there that will help you in getting to know who Christ really is and what he's done for this world. God bless you and make you a blessing. Amen. Amen.